All right, I think I have. All right, there. Fionnuala, just put back the clip there for me, will you please? And on we go. It's up on top. Up on top, Fionnuala. It's all right. All right, we've got it. Look at that. Thank you very much. It does indeed, but we'll make no comment. Our text this morning is Luke chapter 17, 26 to 29, best of verses, and it's pages 1051. And look at the text, and she's so glad that she have come. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. The words of Jesus. A word of prayer. Lord, our prayer is simply open our eyes to see what is in this text. Our ears, Lord, to hear what it is that you are saying to us and to others. And an understanding, Lord, that just goes beyond the obvious understanding of this passage. Help us to see, Lord, what that looks like this day in our culture. And all of God's people said, there we are. One of the words we hear today, and rightly so in the media, is that of accountability. As people have suffered gross injustices from a whole variety of institutions, organizations, people in very powerful positions, people are looking for accountability, and there's no end of that in the media. In actual fact, it's a sad set of affairs, but you could just pick any most organizations. And accountability. People are looking for, somebody needs to be accountable to somebody for what has happened here. And what we have discovered, humanly speaking, it is very difficult to get people to be accountable. Especially powerful people and powerful organizations. Very difficult. Not impossible, but extremely difficult. So accountability is something we hear about a lot. And if you've been listening to the news in the last few weeks, you've heard this being talked about several times. And it's because of the injustices of what people have endured, and they're trying to make sure that it doesn't happen to somebody else, or at least get some answers. So that's roughly the word, and that's part of what's in there. It's not the sum total of it, but it's certainly part of it, and it gives you a glimpse of it. So that being said, we'll move on. Now, the context of those three verses goes back to verse 20 of Luke 17, because this is where he starts with this, and I've given the page number there if you want to follow along in your Bible. I've in the screen as well. It says this: once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God will come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." That's to the Pharisees. To his disciples, he said this. Then he said to his disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. People will tell you, 'There he is,' or 'Here he is.' Do not go running off after them. For the Son of Man in his day will be like lightning which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation." That's the background. to our verses. And what it is, in very summary, so for the sake of time, is Jesus is talking about two comings. The first coming was when he was on earth and he spoke those very words. And this is just before he went to the cross, obviously. The verses we're going to look at is when Jesus returns a second time. So it's what's known as the second coming of Jesus that these verses apply to. Now you might say, that's an awful long ways off. And I could be in glory 1,000 years before that comes. That is a possibility, or he may come quicker than you think. But nevertheless, that's the text. What will it be like when he does come? And you'll see as we go along that Jesus is in the business of accountability. And when you ask the question, who are we ultimately accountable to? The answer is Jesus. Everyone is accountable to Jesus. Christian and non-Christian. From the very first person born to the very last person to be born before Jesus comes, we are accountable to him. So it may be difficult to get accountability on earth. It will not be difficult when Jesus decides, or when the day is decided, that people will have to give an account. Accountability is a certainty with Jesus. No question about it. But it's the reaction of man that he has given me to speak about. So he's now speaking about the day of when he comes to hold people accountable. Now, people are being held accountable as time moves on, but this is when he actually comes back and people see him from one end of the earth to the other. Don't ask me to explain it, but they'll see him. And he's describing the scenario before that comes. What will it be like? Well, he says, just as it was like in the days of Noah, so also will it be like in the days of the Son of Man. Let me give you a few things. When Jesus is describing this, he's describing an enormous span of time. We're talking here upon thousands of years. In the earth, we have experts, and they can go back 30, 40 years, and that's a long time, and maybe historians can go back a few hundred years. But when Jesus is spanning this, he's looking through the lens that goes all the ways back to the very first judgment of God. Big judgment. And that's one lens he's looking through. And the other lens he's looking through is what it will be like at the end. So what you have in these verses is you have a divine perspective on human response, past and present. The disciples wandered around when the judgment came with the flood. They're not going to be on earth when Jesus returns that way, if you know what I mean. So it's a divine perspective. So Jesus is looking back all the way through history. He's looking forward to what else, what is yet to come in future history, if you know what I mean. And he's saying, this is exactly what it's going to be like. Nobody on earth can do that. The best people can do is maybe predict and hope a few years down the road. 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road. You're talking here literally thousands of years. That is quite phenomenal. It is just incredible. But he says, just as it was like in the days of Noah, so it will be also like in the days of the Son of Man. And the obvious question is, if we're with him, well, Jesus, what was it like in the days of Noah? That's an awful long time back. What were the lads up to? Isn't it a fair question? What was it like? And he gives us the answer without even asking the question. He said, well, people were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Judgment was imminent at this stage. And the vast majority of people were living life as they knew it. Does it ring a bell even for today? Living life as they knew. Bible experts don't know how long, but it could have taken Noah anything 55, 60 years, even longer, to build the ark. He built it on dry land, an awful long ways from any kind of water. That stirred an awful lot of curiosity. Rain, as we know today, hadn't happened on the earth at that stage, so the idea of something falling from the sky, people laughed at it. And then he entered the ark. Scripture says, God closes the door, it starts to rain, and the end result is this. Before I get to the end result, let me ask a question. If you knew judgment was coming here today, right? Would you continue to live your life as normal? Let's say the Lord says, I have enough of this country. What you have done is an abomination before me. I'm just saying that now, right? He is not saying that, but I'm just saying that. And he'll say, the end is near. Would you continue living your life as normal, or would you make some changes? Now, that's a very important question, because the people of Noah's day had a choice in relation to that, for those who knew. But the answer to that question is, they continue to live life as normal. How do I know that? Well, I know that because simply this. Only 8 people survived the flood. No, that is horrendous judgment. And you'd not wish it on anyone or any nation. 8 people. Noah and his wife. 3 sons and 3 wives. 8 people survived. So Jesus is seeing what it will be like before he comes back. A bit like what it was like in Noah's day. If that wasn't enough, and that would be sufficient to put the fretness of anyone, right? He gives a second example. The first example of divine accountability happened with the flood. It says in scriptures that the wickedness increased to the point of where God said, no more. That was the first great judgment. The second great judgment that the lads would have known about was this one. And he gives this directly after it. He said, it wasn't the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. The two great judgments that are back in the Old Testament. One is the flood and the other is on Sodom and Gomorrah. Horrendous. How many survived that? Because that's what we're interested in. 4 escaped. Only 3 survived. Lot and his wife and their 2 daughters. But Lot's wife looked back at what was coming down and it devoured her. Oh, just took off my thing there for the phone. Oh, yeah, just press stop. So only 3 survived. Now, there's a remarkable insight into this story. Is Lot went and told his 2 prospective son-in-laws that this was coming. And they thought he was messing, they thought he was joking, and they didn't go with him. In a word, denial. You see the pattern in the flood? You see the same pattern in Sodom and Gomorrah. And what Jesus is saying is, you'll see the very same thing at the end of time. This is how people do it. For the most part, people choose to ignore or dismiss any thoughts of accountability or judgment. They did it all the ways back at the beginning of civilization. They did it halfway through, not even halfway through, with San Gomorrah, and they still do it. If there is accountability, will I choose to ignore it, or I'll choose to dismiss it, or else I'll just take my chances? I know from reading scripture, from a man of God such as I am, the last thing that God ever wants to do, the very last thing, is judge. The very last thing. And his patience are incredible, and his graciousness and his mercy. If judgment comes, it means everything else has been tried and nothing has worked. So it's the last and the final option, but it is lethal at that stage. So accountability, people don't even believe, for the most part, they're accountable before God. And if les don't believe they're accountable before God, they're not going to give a rip about being accountable before their fellow man. Are they? If they can get out of it, they will. That's how it works. Jesus is describing a scenario that we are even talking about this country in this day. Accountability. But it's not the only warnings given in Scripture. You have other people saying is, well, it's too late. The person or the organization responsible for that have done gross damage, and those in charge have died, and we can do no more. Correct? We hear that quite regularly. You know, it goes back too far, 50, 60 years. Can't do anything. Incorrect. Correct, humanly speaking. Incorrect, doctrinally. Well, you hear these words. Jesus, do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to life. Those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. No, we could unpack those verses, we won't, but the point, let's say you're sitting down there, right? And you're like, and we've all done things wrong, so there's no sense here, right? But I'm just saying, and says, I get away with it. It makes no difference. I've got away with it in this life. It will go with me into the grave. What Jesus is saying here is simply this. There's no escaping accountability. If you're not accountable here, you'll still be accountable when the day comes. No question. What, if any, bearing does this verse have on my daily life? Those who have done what is good, rise to life. Those who have done what is evil, will rise to be condemned. So what, if any, bearing does this verse have on my life? It's a great question to ask, isn't it? Because it makes us question our actions and our responses ahead of time. Even a fellow sitting down listening doesn't say, wait a minute here, are you saying that I have to give an account beyond this life? Well, Jesus is saying, actually you do. So if I have to give an account, I better watch myself and get something sorted out. I think that's the idea behind it. I think that's genuinely the purpose behind it, to stir lads on and say, wait a minute here, we could be in trouble, now which way you go here? So does that have a bearing? The answer is yes. Do you know, as the people of God, we'll have to give an account. We'll not be condemned, but we'll have to give an account. Just a word of advice. If you're stuck behind me, go back a bit. Because I'll have to give a fair account for all the things I've said. Remember, I compared Jesus to a pint of Guinness. Can you imagine me standing in front of him? So how does it fare out now, Pat? So we do have to give an account. But when I look at these verses and say, I am grateful for what Jesus has done. Because there's enough there to condemn me in fairness. But I won't be condemned because of what Jesus has done. But I still have to give an account. But also, too, there's an urgency in warning others. or there should be some urgency at least. So there's no escaping accountability. That's what he's saying. Let's put all that together, and I'll give you four observations that is a help to us here. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. If you get nothing, get this. When judgment came, it came suddenly and for most people, unexpectedly. That is how it came. That was the history of the flood. That was the history of Sodom of Gomorrah. When we put it all together, I have four observations that will be a help to us. The first one is this. This is as the people of God, right? And where we live today. First of all, the majority of mankind does not believe in accountability before God. They never have, and they most likely will never will. No, that is not to say there are not people that the Lord has not gathering who realize stuff, repent and receive what it is that Jesus has offered, and there's countless millions of people who have done that. But generally speaking, as a generalization, mankind does not believe in accountability before God. Is that not true today? That's the first thing. Second observation I have in this passage is this. There's nothing new in this unbelief. It has been man's response right down through the ages. It is not modern man that struggles with this. It is man from the very beginning has struggled with it. So in this thing of accountability and judgment, unbelief has always been the response, generally speaking. Third observation I have is this. Current unbelief, and it is dressed up because we are much more educated, we have much greater knowledge, much greater technology, we understand much more than primitive society. You get all that spurn out of you. It is nothing more than current unbelief. And it's nothing more than history repeating itself. It is unbelief dressed up in scientific terms. That's all it is. According to Jesus. Current unbelief. Plenty of proof. No faith. And the last one is this, which is relevant to all of us. Life on earth as we know today can be taken from us all in the blink of an eye. Nobody believes that. But that is the truth. What it is with man that has blinded us in this process, it's our collective sin. They think that we can do and get away, and it will never count. It will count. Also, I'll have to give an account, as I rightly said. But that being said, the reason why there is good news is that while before this takes place, what Jesus talks about, there's the opportunity for forgiveness, restoration, peace, and things being put right. That's why good news is good news. The day will come when that will no longer be accessible because the time will be up. But today, while we have it, we can keep short the counsel of God and say, Lord, look, the record is not clean. No point in saying it is. And we ask Him for forgiveness and in some cases, ongoing forgiveness. And so when we do have to give an account, we can say, yes, I was guilty of that. And yes, I confessed it, and Jesus, by His grace and His goodness, has covered it. And that's our only hope. But for those who don't think accountability is going to matter, or is not a reality, they are in for just a horrendous shock. Everyone is accountable to Jesus. Our job really is to try and convince people of that as we meet him. God, the God they'll meet today, is the God who is the Savior. The God they'll meet at the very end will either be their Savior or their Judge. The opportunity today is to meet him as Savior. And if they don't meet him as Savior, they will definitely meet him as Judge. And that's the reality of what that passage is teaching. Word of prayer, and I'm finished. Lord, we come before you, and Lord, this is just a stunning passage in many ways. It's like something, Lord, that has been heard maybe 50 or 60 years ago in Ireland. And now people hear things like this and say, oh, that's just to terrorize people or to intimidate them. Lord, that is not our purpose here. Lord, you have come so we wouldn't be condemned. Lord, you knew what was ahead of us, and you knew our standing, that we would fall. And Lord, you offered this forgiveness to all men, regardless. And so, Lord, we are grateful, and we pray this day, Lord, that you would use us while there's a bit of life left in us. Lord, to warn other people, Lord, not dogmatically, Lord, not judgmental-wise, but in mercy and compassion, and say, do you realize that we all have to give an account? Lord, the world today believes less than what it did even 50 years ago. We acknowledge that. We do not know, Lord, how long there is left before you return. But we pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to help others to see the relevance of this while there is still time. And all of God's people said,